Research has shown that you have about 8 seconds to capture people's attention when they come to your website. That's the average attention span for your website visitors, and it's not a lot of time. If you fail to articulate what you sell, who the products are for, and how you're different from your competitors, you may have lost your chance to convert that person into a potential customer. We have to be intentional about how we're interacting and connecting with our customers so that we're not only keeping their attention, but also converting them into customers that rave about our brand. Today's guest is Ariane Folk from Aolydia, a web and graphic design agency. Ariane and her team work exclusively with brands with a penchant for design, and they have launched thousands of online shops. She loves having a problem to solve and has focused throughout her career on building online homes for fascinating people. You may remember Ariane from episode 114 of the Proof to Product podcast, where we talked about abandoned cart emails. On today's episode, we're talking about common mistakes she sees product-based business owners making with their e-commerce site. We're talking about SMS marketing strategies and why you need automated email flows, things like welcome and abandoned cart sequences, so that you can better nurture and retain your current customers. If you're a Labs member, Ariane will be joining us in April to lead us through achievable ways to optimize your e-commerce website for more sales. And she's coming back in July to do website audits for our Labs members. So keep your eye on your events calendar so that you don't miss out on these exciting trainings as they run live. If you are not already in our Labs program, head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more. And as a reminder, all past Labs trainings are available as replays, and we have a really rich archive of trainings. But only active Labs members are able to attend our trainings live and ask their burning questions. So head to prooftoproduct.com/labs to learn more and make sure you get in there before April when Ariane's going to be running her first training for us. I'm Katie Hunt, wholesale expert, business strategist, and mom of four. I'm also the host of the Proof to Product podcast. I'm on a mission to empower product-based business owners to confidently grow their revenue in their own way and at their own pace. Here at Proof to Product, you'll learn new strategies, find inspiration, and action steps to help you start, streamline, and scale your product-based business. So grab your favorite notebook to take notes and let's get started.
Hi, Ariane. Welcome to Proof to Product, or welcome back, I should say.
It's so nice to be here, Katie. It's been a long time since we've talked.
I know. I've been watching what you've been doing online and seeing all the amazing work you've been doing with so many members of our community. And I just have to say, you and your team are just excellent at what you do. And I hope you recognize the positive impact that you're making in our industry.
Oh my gosh. Thank you so much. I have to say, it's all my team. They're all way better at design and development and every part of everything than I ever was. So I'm just proud of all the work they're doing.
For sure. But you are also the visionary that brought the whole thing together, created the systems, the workflows, and really created the brand. So you should take some acknowledgement for that as well. So I know today we want to talk about e-commerce sites, how to optimize them, how to gain more traffic to our sites. We're also going to tease out that you're coming into Labs to do some presentations for us soon, which I'll share in the intros and outros here. But I'm just really thrilled because this is your wheelhouse. So let's start first by talking about what are some common mistakes that you see product-based business owners making with their e-commerce sites?
With their sites, there are so many things. So there's something that I've been doing in the last couple years where we will take a look at people's sites for 10 or 15 minutes and give them a quick review. And it's funny how many of the same things come up over and over. There's a lot of similarities. And I think it might be just because you grab a theme off of the shelf and that's what it does. Maybe that's not perfectly optimized, or just something that seems like it makes sense or you didn't think twice about. But a lot of the common things that we notice, well, let me back it up a little bit. Before the little things, there's one big thing that I always see. So every time I go to a website, I think to myself, I'm like, what is this about? Who is it for? And why should I care? So those are my big three questions when I'm reviewing a website for somebody. So sometimes you're so into your business that you totally understand it. You know what it's about. You know how it works. You know all of that. So you kind of forget to say that. So sometimes I'll look at a site and I'll see the big photo at top. I'm like, what is this? Like, maybe it's a lifestyle photo. I don't know which thing's the product and which is the set or whatever. Or maybe it's, I don't know. There's just always this moment where I'm like, what is this? And if it's not super obvious, people have a very short attention span on the web. And so it's really easy to lose them. And then the other thing I like to see is who is this for? Because the brands that we see that are very successful, it's obvious that they have a certain target customer. So some people are going to like what they do. Some people are not going to like what they do. And that's perfectly fine. But if I show up in a site and I can't really figure out who's this for, then it starts to feel like maybe the brand is trying to appeal to everybody, or it's kind of watered down. So it seems like people are not, or that just right person is not going to understand it's for them and engage. And then the last one I have is, why should I care? Which sounds a little bit rude, but the meaning behind that one is, what makes this business different? So I tell everybody, if you can't figure out what makes you different from even your very closest competitors, your customer can't figure it out either. So they're possibly going to go shop on convenience or price or something like that, because they don't see what's special about you. So those are the big three for me. And then we could also get into little details.
Yeah, I would love to hear the little details too, but let's start first with these. I think it's so important. All of what you described is that brand identity, right? And articulating who we're for, what we're doing, why we're different than our competitors. And you're so right. So many of us are so in the weeds about doing the work, but then not communicating the answers to those questions. So you articulated that we can communicate those things through the imagery, through the copy, through just even probably the layout of the site too, correct?
Yeah, totally. So sometimes I'll just see products. And so you come to the homepage and it's just products. And I don't know, like, are these handmade? Did you design and make these? You're not saying that to anybody. So it's not looking special. So we always like to include a little story. So we start with maybe the big photo on top and we make sure it's something that really communicates what's going on. Like, it's best if it captures all three of those things. Like, it shows what's actually happening, it shows who it's for, and it shows what makes it different. So I know that's a lot to get all together in a photo, and it can sound really challenging. But there's lots of examples of people who are doing that well. And then we like to have just a little blurb, like a couple sentences that get people oriented and they know what it's about. You can kind of cover those three things in your little blurb there too. And that's not only good for getting people oriented, but it can help Google understand what it is that you do. And you can show up on the searches where you belong for that kind of thing. And then it's okay to launch into your products and all that, and maybe pull out things that are interesting and share press and testimonials and all that kind of thing. But just covering those basics, if your site is not covering those basics right now, and you can add that, that makes a huge difference. And another thing I'll say is, when somebody comes to hire us and their budget can't encompass everything they want to do, if I don't feel their brand is strong, I think it is a much better use of money to work on your brand than to work on your website. Because putting together a website around a brand that isn't fully developed is just not going to be that effective. And if you have a super strong brand, but you use some out of the theme store theme, that's still going to show through and make that theme work a lot better for you, because the brand is really the foundation of everything that you're going to do.
Absolutely. All right. What were some of the smaller things that you wanted to share with us that people are doing wrong?
We can call this the pet peeves corner.
I like that.
So I kind of think of a website top to bottom, because I've reviewed so many people's websites, and that's how I do it. So at the top, one thing that I often see is people will put their social media links on the very top. And it's like, those are the most distracting websites on the internet. Why are you going to go and send people there when they're supposed to be shopping your website? So we recommend, if you're going to include your social media links, put them in the footer once people have gotten a chance to get to know you. Then another thing that we see is just a really disorganized navigation. So the menu of all of your categories. I feel like there's a couple different ways people go with this. Some people do too much and they try and put absolutely everything about their business as the top priority. And then it's just, there's so much going on. And then the other people kind of do too little. It'll just say shop at the top. And then you have to dig in and try to figure out, what does this brand sell? So another one of those ways to get people oriented is if they can see your categories clearly across the top. Because if I see skincare, lotion, lip care, whatever, I understand that I'm at like a bath and body or a skincare site right away. But if I just see home, shop, contact, I don't really know where I am. So that's one of the we spend a lot of time on navigation at Alydia. We will have navigation meetings with our e-commerce strategist and the designer and developer sometimes. And those can take an hour or two, depending on how complicated the categories are. Like, we've got this master spreadsheet and we're moving things around and we're trying to figure out how to subdivide things to make it make sense and be easy to shop. So I would spend some time trying to make sure your navigation makes sense if you're pulling a site together yourself and not just use whatever the theme wants you to do or just throw things in without thinking about it. It can also be great to have somebody else check your site out and ask them to try to find something and see if they get lost in your menu or if they can figure it out.
Yeah. Is there a rule of thumb of how many links you want in a top nav of a website?
Yeah, we like when you're looking on a desktop, not your mobile phone, we like it to just sort of fit in one line and not overlap down to a second one. So whatever's like a normal type screen size, you want your navigation to fit across there and not spill onto multiple lines, because that's when it starts feeling overwhelming.
Totally, totally. You know, the online space feels noisy, probably more than ever before, with social media, with the videos, the photos, all the things. And it can be tough to get folks to our website, to get that traffic going. I know this is something your team is working on and developing an article about, but how can brands stand out online and push more traffic to their website?
Yeah, there's so many ways to get traffic. So we put together, we have a post on our site about like the top 10, I think it's the top 10 ways to get traffic and top 10 ways to improve your site. I can send you a link to that if that's helpful.
Yeah, we'll include it with the show notes.
But there are lots of ways. And I think sometimes I see people relying too much on one thing, or maybe even relying on something that's not going to be effective for them. Because there are some brands you could spend all day on Instagram and you're not really going to get your customers over to your site from there. What I would do, if you're just starting out, you can't do this. But if you've been going for a while, I would definitely spend time looking at your stats and seeing not only who's sending you the most traffic, but you want to set up you can set up goals on your Google Analytics if that's what you're using, and you can find out which things are turning into sales, which is the important part, because maybe half your traffic comes from Instagram, but maybe only a tiny slice of those people are actually ever buying anything. And then it turns out you're getting some traffic from Google, which isn't as much as you'd like, but maybe more people are buying when they come from Google than when they come from Instagram. So I think knowing your numbers is very important. And then if you're just starting out, what I would do is I would try a variety of things and I would have a way to track whether it's working or not. And then you really want to spend time where it's working and spend less time where it's not working. Because sometimes I see people will find some method is fun for them. Like, again, Instagram's a good example. Like, maybe it's fun to be on Instagram and it's really boring to try and get your SEO working right. I think just spending time where it works is where we want to concentrate. And then I know a lot of people do paid ads, especially for e-commerce, and that is probably going to be important for your brand at some point. It's also confusing and difficult. So that is something where I would look for some help if I had an e-commerce site and find somebody who knows what they're doing to do it, because that's the sort of thing where how it works changes all the time. What's effective changes all the time. It's really hard to keep up on that unless you're an expert.
Yeah, it's very nuanced for sure.
Yeah. So we really like content marketing, which is just having a lot of interesting stuff on your site that people want to come and see and read and use, which I know can sound challenging for an e-commerce site. Like, most shop owners don't want to start a blog or anything like that, but we'll recommend that they take their like most important, interesting information. If you're not going to write a weekly or monthly blog post, you can always have a section called articles where you share the most important info about how to use your products or what's interesting about them, that kind of thing. And then we also really like to rely on email marketing. That's what we've seen be the most effective, which that feels a little bit like cheating on the topic, because these aren't brand new people. This is traffic that has already found you. But once people have found you, you want to keep them coming back. Like, it was hard work to get them to your site. You want them to keep coming back. So it's really important to us to get those people onto an email list and then continue to communicate with them. And we see with the brands that we work with that email can be one of the biggest ways that they get sales. Like, it's a huge chunk of their sales. So that's something I would definitely focus on.
I'm a big proponent of nurturing our existing customers, just because, as you said, it was a lot of work to get them there. And then once we have them, how can we continue to support them, nurture them, get them coming back to purchase more, have them tell their friends about our brand? You know, they're really, they can be ambassadors for your brand and drive additional new traffic. But I do think it is an interesting dichotomy when we're talking about marketing of like, okay, are we going after these new leads and prospects and this traffic to our website, or are we going to hunker down and focus on nurturing the existing people who are already buying from us and just see what we can do to support them more?
Yeah, I really like this idea of having, you have a marketing and sales budget probably for new customers, but do you have a marketing budget for your existing customers?
Yes.
Because you can be spending time on getting those people back. And like you said, you can set up a referral program or something where they can help you find new people. There's lots of different ways to work with the people who are already really interested, which is a lot easier than finding people from nowhere who haven't heard of you yet and trying to get them interested.
Much, much easier, right? SMS marketing has been a tactic that feels like it's been on the rise the last few years. What are your thoughts on this for product-based business owners like our listeners? Do you think it's worth them trying out?
Yes. So Helen on our team has been in charge of getting our SMS services up and running. And she is extremely passionate about this. I wish I had her here with me because she would be like, yes, you have to get your SMS list going right now. So the reason that she thinks this is important is it's kind of new. So people feel like they get a lot of spam to their email and it's just getting crowded in there and you're mixed in with a lot of other stuff and maybe deliverability isn't good. Maybe you're ending up in people's spam folders and things like this. This is not to say don't do email, because definitely do email. It's really important. Yeah. But SMS is different in that when you text somebody, they're going to get that text. There's no spam folder for your text. People who sign up for texts from you are really interested. Like, I'm not going to sign up to get a text from you if I don't want one. So these are going to be your best customers who want to hear from you. And then the other thing is, this is new and there aren't a million brands doing this right now. So you can be the first one to get that kind of like mental space in your customers' messages box, because they don't have it filled up with a million other offers and they're not like trying to unsubscribe from every possible thing. So you can kind of get in there before everybody else has done that and have people who like to hear from you.
What kind of strategy is Helen recommending around this, or is your team recommending around this, just from the standpoint of, I know with email, a lot of our listeners worry about sounding salesy or sending too many things or bothering people. And you're right, with SMS, that we have direct contact with that person's phone, which is constantly on their body and with them at all times, most of the time. So I assume we want to be extra careful in our communication there as to not annoy people, but also like the whole point is they are somebody that's interested in hearing from us. They did sign up for this. They do want to hear from us. So does it follow a similar cadence in your opinion to some of the email marketing strategies, or does it have a different cadence and style and even tone probably to the messaging?
Yeah. So there are things that are so different about this. One is that you don't really have to worry about the design of your text message, right?
True.
And then there's not like a lot of copy to write. You can only write a few words, like a sentence or two, and then it gets to be way too much. So these are super short and sweet. Like, you want it to be an important, impactful message. So definitely spend some time thinking about what you want to say, but it's not as big a deal as trying to write a whole newsletter to somebody, right? You're trying to figure out a sentence or two to say about some, maybe a time sensitive thing, like an event you're having or a sale that's going on or a new product or something like that. So you could just be pretty straightforward. We're still figuring out cadence, like how often is too often or how often is not often enough. But I would say, I think that's just going to be something everybody is learning over time, and it will evolve as people start to get more messages like this in their inbox. But I would say just start with something that feels reasonable and see how it goes. You'll be able to tell if people are unsubscribing or if they're clicking through and making purchases. So you might try a little bit more often, or you might try a little less often and see, do sales drop when you're going less often, or do unsubscribes really go up, or opt-outs, whatever you're going to call it with SMS. You just kind of want to see how your audience is reacting, because it's probably going to be different for your audience than other people's. And it really depends on the kind of thing that you're communicating. But again, just always don't just send it out and forget about it. Send it out and try to figure out, did that work? Like what happened with that one? How many people opted out? How many people clicked through? How many people bought things? When you have that information, it's easy to make a decision.
Well, and this goes back to metrics, right? Like paying attention to the data, looking at what's working for your brand and for your audience, and then making adjustments from there. One of my clients is using SMS for her like insiders, which I know people have done this for their email too, where her insiders, so anyone on this SMS list, will get first access to new products when they're released, or first access to any sales that are happening, or, you know, different things like that, like special discount codes. And she said it's been working very well for her. She typically sends one a week, but again, the cadence is kind of up in the air and it's going to vary from brand to brand. But I did want to share that example with the listeners in case they were curious about it.
Yeah, that's a great example.
Okay, so I want to circle back to email marketing a little bit. It's changed quite a bit over the last few years. Even more so, but I feel like during the pandemic, that was the only way to connect with folks other than like social media and stuff like that. So then we saw people, I felt like people went to two extremes. I'm curious on your thoughts on this. I felt like people either were over emailing and sending a ton of stuff just to be like, hey, I'm here. Or they were like burying their head and not doing anything. Did you see similar kind of situations?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I haven't really followed exactly how people were emailing through the whole whatever we're calling the last few years when business has been so weird. But we've definitely put a big focus on email that we didn't have before. Mm-hmm. So we've started using Klaviyo for our clients because it integrates so well with Shopify. And what we found is the big money maker there, and something that a lot of people don't put much time into, is having that flow or automation of the first few emails that people get once they sign up. So that's been huge for our clients. It can be a little tricky and intimidating to set up in Klaviyo. It's not the easiest thing to do. So we love being able to pop in and help people out. And, you know, we know which kind of things work and which don't. So we have the series of welcome emails that you'll get, but then there's a lot of other automations and flows that you can set up, like post-purchase ones or abandoned cart. You can set up special things like birthday emails. There's all kinds of sort of best practices things that you can do with email. And when people don't have that set up, it just feels like such a missed opportunity. Because again, like back to that conversation we were having about, once somebody has found you, you want to keep them engaged. So if somebody has signed up on your site or has made a purchase, you don't want to then not communicate with them for a month and they've forgotten who you are by the time they get the email. So we're all busy. We're maybe not able to send out our weekly newsletter or whatever it is. But if you have that automation set up where everybody's getting just the right emails at just the right timing, then you can be sleeping or on vacation and you know all your customers are being taken care of. So that's really important to us. And that's one of the projects where we see a super strong return on investment for both for the Klaviyo software cost and the cost of having us set it up for people. It's just like instantly, especially the more traffic you get and the more newsletter subscribers you get, the bigger an impact this has. But we can just see all those sales happening that would not have happened otherwise if you didn't have your handy little sales robot sending out the right emails at the right time. And then the other thing that's a part of what we do is making sure you're capturing those emails. So making sure you have the pop-up set up correctly and any kind of post-purchase thing that might happen. There's all these different touch points where you could get people to decide they want to engage with you, or you could check in on them if it's been a while, that kind of thing. You can also set up automations for your best customers or special segment it. So the people who shop a lot with you are getting different kinds of messaging than somebody who's maybe brand new and needs to know more about your brand right now. There's lots of ways to just kind of take care of all that. But once you've set it up, it's not a lot of work anymore. It's just going out and doing the work for you.
I was literally having a Voxer conversation with a client this morning about the importance of having the welcome sequence and the nurture emails going out every month and having that pre-planned and scheduled so that she no longer had to do it, so that, you know, she could focus on other things and she would know that they were getting meaningful touch points in their inbox with the customers. And so it's so great to hear you talk about this too, because I'm going to send her this podcast episode when it comes. Say, this is what we need to be doing. So thank you for sharing that. I also think Klaviyo is such a powerful tool. You were talking about the customization and segmentation of you know, these are warmer, your best customers. Here's, we can talk to them differently than someone that's kind of brand new to our sphere and warm them up in the same, in a different way than somebody that's been around for a while. And
yeah. The one thing that's really cool about software now that's different than when I first started is it all has those APIs so they can talk to each other. So Klaviyo can go in and find out who your best customers are, and you don't have to do a ton of work trying to get that info back and forth. So we find that Shopify and Klaviyo talk really well together. And then you can do a lot of really clever stuff that maybe you wouldn't have thought about that can be super effective.
If you had to prioritize them, or as you prioritize them for your clients, do you prioritize the welcome sequence and then like abandoned cart, or what kind of automations do you prioritize for second, third?
Yeah, my team has a list. I'm going to get in trouble if I say for sure, but I'm going to say it's probably the welcome sequence first and then abandoned cart, like what you said. I'm not sure what the third one is. I'll need to figure that out so I can answer that for next time.
Well, I didn't mean to put you on the spot. There's definitely a list. Yeah. Well, and there's so many options and opportunities. So I was just curious if there was any other one that you were like, oh, this is a must have. So,
oh yeah. Awesome. We're trying to get that information together for an upcoming blog post, because we have learned so much about what works well in the last couple of years, but we've just been busy doing it for people. And I want to get that information out there too.
I love that. All right. Well, tell us what's coming up next for Alydia. Do you have any new projects or offers that you want to share with our audience? Anything that, you know, is new and exciting since we last spoke?
Oh yeah. You know what? I feel like my business has changed so much over these last few years when things went crazy. We've like tried a whole bunch of things because we're trying to meet people where they are, like with how they're feeling about the economy, with how they're having to pivot their own businesses. So two big changes that happened over the last couple of years is we used to focus really hard on a full custom redesign of your site. So if you came to us, you pretty much wanted to start over again and get something brand new, but that's a lot. And we figured out something that works so well. So what we wanted to do last summer, and I had to talk my team into this, they were like, I don't know if it can be done, but I wanted to be able to redo somebody's website in a day. And so are now doing something, we're calling it website in a week now, but most of the work is in one day. So there's a little preparation time where you get your stuff together and then you spend one day with our designer on Slack or email or hopping on calls. And she's going to quickly go through and take our favorite theme, customize everything to look perfect for your brand. And then the next half day, we pop over to the developer and do a couple things that need a little more tech work. And then you have 2 weeks to use the site and get back to us if there's any questions or bugs or whatever. And that has been going amazing. Extraordinarily well. And it's really fun. Like the momentum is high all through the project because it's a day. Like people can take time out and just get it done. And then just having your site completely redone and ready to go next week is such an exciting concept. But we've also gone into the stats for these sites and we've seen huge differences to conversion rate and average order value and all that stuff we care about. So that's been really fun. And that's our like fast, affordable, just like my site's a mess, let's fix it kind of option. And then the other thing that we're doing now is we used to insist on redesigning your site and then we could continue to work with you. But now we're just going to work with people on a monthly basis, maintaining and optimizing their sites and starting like exactly where you are with whatever problems you have or whatever needs to be fixed. And then just slowly improving your site from there. Because we're finding a lot of the businesses we work with now, they have a good enough site. It's good enough. It's working. But a website is never done. And there are always places to improve. So now we're just like, how can we take what you have and make it better and just keep working on it and changing it based on what changes are happening in your business? So it's like super fun to do the whole huge redesign. Like that's a spectacle and it's exciting. But this work that we've been doing over the last year has been so impactful. And just like watching the sites improve is so enjoyable too. So I'm really into what we're doing with that now. And as for me personally this year, I'm all about getting back to doing things in person and talking to people and going to events and conferences. So that's what I'm excited about.
Oh, that's great. I'm definitely on the bandwagon of in-person events and like getting back out in the world and seeing people face to face. And I love that you're doing this with the new website in a week. I think that's The word impactful was on my mind as you were speaking. And then you said, it's so impactful. But I think too, you can make that quick change, but not only just is it changing the site, but it's changing the AOV. It's changing the conversions. It's like, it's a quick shift in look and feel, but also the implementation and the execution of it all, which I think is wonderful. For your ongoing customers and clients that are like where you're doing updates and things like that, are you also helping them with things like SEO or their email flows if they need? Is that part of that retainer type package, or is it just simply website updates?
Yeah, we spend most of our time on email, I think, and now SMS, but then also the website as well. And then a thing that I've noticed over this last year, so Shopify came up with kind of a whole new framework for how to make a site there, and they call it Online Store 2.0. So The website in a week is a great way to take what is now, Shopify calls them vintage themes.
Oh, gosh.
So if your site hasn't been redone in the last year and a half, it is now vintage. Thank you, Shopify. But this is our quick way of getting you onto this new, super flexible, really fast platform. And just another thing that makes me happy about what we're doing now is it can be so hard for people to take their brand and get it onto a Shopify theme. Like, I didn't realize how hard it was, but sometimes people would pay us to do a whole brand redesign and it would be gorgeous and beautiful. And then I sit there and I watch their website for years and all they've done is stuck the logo at the top. And I'm like, you have fonts, you have colors, you have patterns, you have icons. Yeah. Like, we need to get that on there. So that website in a week thing, just on that day, our designer is bringing all of your brand into there and making the site look like you. And it's such a big difference. They're gorgeous. Sometimes I look at them and I'm like, is this a custom site or one of our website in a week? So you guys are doing too much. What's happening here?
Well, as somebody that has redone, not my e-commerce, but my, you know, my site for Proof to Product a few different times, it is a huge undertaking to redo an entire website. And when you're talking multiple SKUs and products and e-commerce, like, it is a big undertaking. And I feel, correct me if I'm wrong, the website in a week, you can capture somebody's attention. Like, your clients will be in tune, ready to roll for a week if they know that this is a week I'm working on my site. Whereas if it's a larger project that may take months or so, I feel like the process can sometimes slow down just because that energy level kind of waxes and wanes. Is that true? Or is that?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, keeping the momentum through all the different phases can be hard. And when you're doing a 5-month website project, there's certainly periods of time where there's nothing you really get to see that's new and fun because we're working behind the scenes. Yeah. So it's easy to kind of lose momentum there. And, you know, people have a week off or they have to travel and all that. So just like setting aside a day and a half to be like, this is when I'm available to you. And then we can just get it all done. I love that we can do that.
I love that model for you and your team as well as for your customers. I think that's great. Awesome. Well, share where people can find you online to learn more about all these services. And we will also include the blog post that you mentioned in this episode in the show notes so people can find that too. But talk to us about your website and your social handles.
Yeah, perfect. So I'm Aeo Lydia everywhere, which is fun to spell, AEOLIDIA. We're focusing mostly on Instagram for social right now, but I'm starting to use LinkedIn more and more. So if anybody wants to get on LinkedIn with me, I'm Ariane Folks there, or my page is Aeo Lydia.
Awesome. Ariane, thank you so much for your time today. I'm really excited to continue working with you too, because we do have two programs coming up in labs that you're going to be teaching. And our community is so excited to learn from you. So thank you for that.
Yay.
Huge thanks to Ariane for joining me today. I loved hearing about what's happening in the SMS space and about the new services her team is providing for product-based business owners. It is really evolutionary what they're doing. I mean, a website in a week is fantastic, and also the retainer services for ongoing support with SEO and email marketing and just general website is just fantastic. So I will include all of her links in the show notes so you can easily follow Ariane and her team on social media and then reach out to their website if you need help with any of those things. In April, Ariane will be joining us inside of Proof to Product Labs to teach us how to optimize our e-commerce website for more sales. In this presentation, she's going to share common mistakes that she sees and how to fix them. We'll cover important optimizations that you can make to your website header, your footer, your homepage, collections page, product pages, and more. Then in July, she's returning to labs to provide website audits. Ariane will review and suggest improvements to different volunteers' websites live. So you'll have an opportunity to apply for those audits and get your website checked out. We'll walk through everything from navigating to copywriting, and she'll give specific improvements to make. These are fast and fun and always actionable advice that you can take, whether it's your own site or you're watching somebody else's audit too. So to participate in these sessions live and apply to have your website audited, head to proof2product.com/labs and join our 12-month membership for product-based business owners. In labs, we discuss sales, marketing, and how to truly run your business with more ease. Plus, you're building strong community connections with other product makers, and you get coaching from me and our labs coaches as well. So learn more at proof2product.com/labs. All right, that's all I have for you today. I will be back with a new episode next week. Have a good one.